welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is episode number 62, season 2, episode 17. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And I almost cut you off. Welcome to the show, everybody but Shandy.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's it going?
Oh, it goes.
Cool. I'm drinking milk and eating cookies.
Oh, that's so really wonderfully wholesome.
Literally, yeah. Man, come a long way.
Is it whole milk?
No, it's almond milk.
Okay, so not... Yeah, all right. Better for you anyway. I like almond milk better.
That's
like the one thing that like I don't miss real milk, like even a little bit. Like when I put it in coffee because there's like nothing at Starbucks or whatever, I'm like, oh, I don't like it. It's like too... Yeah. I don't know.
Delicious?
Yeah. I think it's like if you give up milk and you like are away from it for a long time, like when you come back to it, you taste like the creaminess more and like not in a good way.
Oh, the creaminess.
Yeah. It's like
that's why I only drink whole milk.
Well, when my stomach problems back in college, I switched to almond milk.
Wow, you trendsetter.
I did. Mm-hmm.
You were before it was cool.
Thank you. I think I switched maybe senior year or junior year. Excuse me, it was after we lived together, Amanda.
Okay, that would explain why. I mean, not that, you know, I try and keep up on your beverage.
I mean, we lived together since then, but I don't think I was drinking a whole lot of milk at that point, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh. The only beverage I remember is giant industrial bottles of white wine.
Yes, pretty much. But...
Ah! Sorry, we're live now. We were off air, and I wasn't sure if that was an issue.
We're on the air now. We're doing it live with a hot laptop, and one of us is knitting, one of us is drinking milk and eating cookies.
So we really are our age. We're showing
Holy
our age.
Shit, yeah. Oh, my God,
what
yes.
What age is wine and pistachios?
Every age. I think that's always appropriate.
Yeah, I think so, too. Speaking of showing our age, though... What were we going to do? Let's see. This is episode 62, 63, 64, 65, 66. So we were going to shoot for a live Broadsgiving on November 21st.
Yes. I believe that was the plan.
I love that.
Cool. All right. You have 4 weeks. Mark it down.
Think of what you're thankful for.
Think of what you're thankful for.
And a backup just in case someone takes yours.
Wasn't... There's something like a plot of that in Friends, because I know they always had fun Thanksgiving episodes.
Maybe? I don't know. It's been a while since I've done a rewatch of Friends.
Yes, and as we talked about last week, it doesn't fully hold up.
No.
But I would wager that the Thanksgiving episodes are bottleneck enough to perhaps.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I mean, yeah. I think that you can, like, be aware of the things where you're kind of like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
but then like still appreciate it because, you know, it's still funny and there's still like some really good jokes that go through the seasons and stuff. And
that we still use, you know, today.
Yes.
There was that quiz that, you know, one of those BuzzFeed quiz or whatever that go around from time to time, like phrases you say that you don't really start with Friends.
Like what were some of the ones, do you remember?
I don't remember, but let me mark it down, and when somebody's talking, maybe we'll come back to this at the end of the show. So stay tuned. Here's a reason to listen all the way through, and our reason to make sure we save enough time to talk about it. But one of them was something I do always joke with all the time, is I wasn't supposed to put beef in the trifle.
Joey's and like, lady fingers and peas and sauteed onions and then another layer of lady fingers.
What's not to love? Beef, good. So
yeah, that's a good one. I think I quote. Mm-hmm. I quote that one quite a bit too.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It's when Rachel's trying to make the Thanksgiving dessert or whatever, which the pages are stuck together. So she starts on the trifle recipe, but she finishes on like some like dinner beef recipe or something.
Yeah, like shepherd's pie or something.
So the trifle ends up combined.
Yeah. So it's like jelly and then it's like beef and onion.
Yeah. And Joey's the only one that likes it.
Yep. Yeah. I believe
eat
the whole thing.
And tough. Every time I eat hummus, because I like to eat, I don't necessarily like carrots, but I know I need to eat some kind of vegetable from time to time. So I'll have carrots and hummus. And every time I bust out the hummus, I'm like, hummus, hummus, I got the hummus. Like when Phoebe gets it on her.
You know Friends way better than I do.
I only know a couple of episodes because there's a couple that, you know.
It's clearly the ones I missed.
That's the one from the one where no one's ready. When Joey puts
Right. And Monica, and then she like spills something. Does she spill the hummus on the dress? And that's why she ends up with the big flower. Yeah,
the corsage thingy or whatever it is.
I think it's just like a gift bow.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Right. My sister Christy was talking about this episode this past weekend, and she was because I had totally forgot the Monica Richard plot point with the I'm breezy, and you know when she apologizes and she's like. I'm sorry, I'm just over emotional. Maybe I'm getting my period or something. And then Phoebe's like, she's like, says to Phoebe, like, do you think that he'll call me back? And she says something like, I don't think there's any coming back from that one or something. Yeah. Anyways, 5 minutes of Friends talk. I think that's good.
Well, apparently, I need to rewatch it because I don't remember any of that.
Everybody says pivot. That was one of the ones on the list, but I think everybody knows.
That's true. I threw that reference in this weekend. We were moving rugs.
Pivot!
Yeah. Nice. It is unclear if Daniel got it or not, but I thought it was funny, so it really didn't matter if he got it or not.
My other all-time favorite Ross moment from Friends is when he gets stuck in the leather pants.
Yeah.
That's just so amazing, and he tries the lotion to get them off, and she comes in and yeah.
That's why no one should ever own leather pants. No. Like, it's just a bad plan. It's just it's gonna end in disaster, no matter how you do it.
Yeah. Anyways. How are you guys? I'm sorry we're starting a little late tonight. We had very last minute impulse purchase while we were in the minivan driving to New York on Saturday to buy tickets to see Daniel Tiger live. We were like, oh, it's 6:30. It's a Tuesday night. This show will be over by 7:30. We'll be back by like 8:15, you know, 8:30, depending. Well, the first act was an hour. It started late, so it ended. It was 7:33. I only know this because we had a poop incident, and Jay was like, I told you that he was going to go in his pants, and I was just like, it's 7:30, and I said to him, it's 7:33, usually the poops are done by about 5:30, so how was I to know that, you know, this was going to happen again? So then it was like a 25-minute intermission. I swear to God, it didn't start up until like after 8 o'clock, and I was like, geez Louise.
Children have bedtimes.
Yes, children have bedtimes. It was cute, though. He's not into the merch, as we learned the first time we went to go see it, where we got him a shirt, and he was like, he's never worn this shirt, like, ever. He doesn't like it, doesn't want to wear it. He did pick out at the end, after we had gotten the shirt at like intermission, he really wanted to get a Daniel Tiger stuffed animal. And at that point, that was when they served liquor during it. So by the end of the Daniel Tiger in January, we were both like, sure, whatever you want. Have as much fun as we're having. Let's wait in the line and sober up anyway. So, but, you know, he didn't want anything today. And then he saw in the middle of the first act, you know, those like light up things, not the glow sticks, but the glow. I don't know. They're like feather dusters, but they're like glowy things.
Sure.
Whatever. He wanted one of those. Sure. It's in the picture I sent you. It's that glowy thing. It's like a stick, but it's like a wand. I don't know how to describe it. So we really wanted one of those. So, like, it flashes different colors. He was twirling it around. We were like, oh my God, somebody's going to have a seizure. Well, all the little kids behind us, who I thought their parents were going to surely kill us for him sitting, you know, in front of them twirling it, they came back from intermission all with those same exact things.
Nice.
So it was funny. But my only issue, and I was telling you guys this, was it was a Facebook advertisement and it was only $25 a ticket. And I was like, well, this beats going to like hibachi or something if we were going to do like a family night. Like, we might as well do something cool.
Yeah.
Okay. The base price for all three, it was, you know, like $75 or I think it was like $73.78 or something, like, you know, before all the totals. It was an additional $40 in fees and taxes.
Through Ticketmaster?
Through Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster is a rip.
I thought they just got sued for that.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to because they don't freaking care.
It was insane. I shouldn't pay more than half the dollar like amount of the base tickets in fees.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. That's terrible.
When it was in my cart and it said $119 or whatever, I was like, oh shit, I have to get out of this. I must have gotten an extra ticket by mistake because I'm fumbling around to select seats on my phone. I was like, oh, I must have selected an extra seat. I go out and no, there's only three tickets there. So, you know, I figured out, like, I found where, like, the breakdown menu pull-down was. And yeah, so it was $10 extra per ticket. Then there was a processing fee on top of that. And then there was the taxes.
Now, and did you pick up the tickets at, like, Will Call, or were they mailed to you?
We did Will Call, because I got them on Saturday.
And even that, so, like what is the processing fees that you're paying for? Like, you're not having them shipped.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting them emailed, so you print them off at home. Like, you are literally just picking them up at a ticket booth where someone was going to be anyway.
Exactly. Right? And it said no charge for Will Call. Like, I could have done a print at home, but I was like, oh, it'd be cool to have, like, a souvenir ticket, you know, for the scrapbook I do every year. And it said no additional charge, so I don't know, but...
Oh, this messed up.
And then by then, of course, I couldn't back out of it because we had told Zach, you want to go see Daniel Tiger? It's going to be so much fun. Oh, my God. So now, you know, as I'm doing this, we've already opened our big mouths in the middle of the minivan on the Long Island Expressway about how awesome we're going to go see this show. So I couldn't be like, yeah, it just got a lot pricier than we thought. Yeah.
So about that, there's this thing called money.
Now we're in triple digits. We really weren't looking to spend that. We were trying to keep it around hibachi-like price.
Yeah. We're teaching you a thing called fiscal responsibility. It's a very important lesson for a three-year-old.
So in short, don't tell your kids until after you see the total prices.
Right.
But he had fun, so.
Oh, good. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Anyway, what are you guys up to?
Oh, so not much. This weekend, we finally dusted out all of our Morocco rugs and put some down on the floors. I say some, because again, there were four. So we got three down, and so we have one big one that we put in the living room. And then the other big one we're saving for a rainy day or when we live in more than two rooms. But yeah, like we decided to get rid of the rug that we have in our bedroom because it was just like a really bad purchase from the jump. It was just like a shag carpet and it was impossible to clean. It was gross. So we moved the big carpet that we had in the living room into the bedroom and then put one of the Morocco rugs down in the living room. So that took most of the day of, like, you know, peeling up the one rug and, like, moving the furniture and then, like, cleaning, like, the gigantic dust bunnies that, like, were released from pulling up the rug. And we got all the baseboards. And then it's like we had to move everything out of the bedroom, like, take the bed apart and then move the rug in. And then we weren't sure the rug that we put down in the living room was going to work because it was a little smaller than we remembered. And we're like, oh, no, like, just stupid. Did we make a huge mistake? But we sort of like let it simmer and we're like, let's just, you know, live with it for a few days.
Because also,
I think we're happy now.
Too late to return them.
Exactly. And I think I still think the rug is a little too small for the space, just because the way our apartment is, it's like one big long main room that's sort of like a entryway dining kitchen or living room, like it's just all one big thing. So it's like a small rug really looks a little lost. But you know, it's like anytime you move any, like it's a problem of just that room and will never be a problem anywhere else we live. So, or we might get another rug and do like the layered effect. and look super trendy and cool.
Like, OMG.
Yeah, like Pinterest worthy. So we'll see. You know, and then because I think we need to buy another rug.
Seems
which
reasonable.
Which is the irony of the whole thing. That like, but yeah, it was fun. It was just like it wasn't fun. It was the opposite of fun. But the feeling of accomplishment was really, really, really great. That it's like, we didn't do anything fun all weekend, but damn it, we got a lot of things done around the apartment, which was really good. And then yesterday, my friend had an album release a couple weeks back. Like a good friend that moved to Austin a while back and is back in the city sort of touring around, doing shows to promote the album that he released. So I finally got to go because I missed one of the shows a couple weekends ago and I wasn't feeling well. So I got to go to this one. It was at my favorite music venue in New York City, Rockwood Music Hall. And it was just so great to see him and his partner and like a bunch of our friends. And the music is so good. And I was just so proud and so happy. And I'm so glad I could be there to like share in it. So it was That's definitely awesome. The highlight of an uneventful weekend for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Minivan was awesome. I will say I never drove it once, but it was very pleasant to ride in it as a passenger.
So wait, if the whole thing was to test it and it would be your car, why didn't you drive it at all?
Well, I had a lot of round ligament pain because I had a really busy past few weeks where I haven't had time to really work out or walk or anything. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had time. Like, I've gone into work early, I've stayed late, and I've worked through lunch. So it hasn't been the best couple of October for taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I was so exhausted. And then, like, my body just kind of quit, I think, on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I was just, the whole ride from here to the hotel we stayed at in Baltimore overnight, I was in so much pain. Like, I couldn't sit up. I couldn't lean back. I couldn't sit on my, I couldn't figure out how to sit or stand or whatever.
To get comfortable.
So I didn't drive at all that night. And then I offered to drive the next morning. And Jay was like, nah, whatever. I want to get there. You drive like an old lady. So we're just going we'll rent it again over Thanksgiving.
You drive like an old lady because you stop at
Because I stop at, I slow down for yellow when there's other people in the car.
Come on.
Anyway, yeah, I liked it though. I enjoyed riding it as a passenger. When we got back we drove up, dropped it off, and then flew back home on a 6 a.m. flight on Monday morning. And when we got back to my car Monday morning, Zach gets in and he's like, "I don't like this. I want the van back."
So Zach's on board. He's all for it.
Yeah, he did. We'll see. Another check in that direction.
Nice. Well, good. I'm glad that worked out. And I'm sorry you were in pain, though.
Oh, it happens. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I bought a belly band, so.
A what?
Oh, it's serious now.
Yeah. I ordered it from jayandjack.com/Amazon. I really did, actually.
Oh, hey.
Smooth plug.
Yeah, I figured if I have to buy one, I might as well see a dollar of it back somewhere along the line.
That's
fair.
So, what is this?
It's like a belly support band. Like
it helps fight gravity.
Like spikes?
Sort of, but it doesn't hold it in. It just holds it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, it is sort of like a belly Spanx, I guess.
like a belly bra.
Yes, it's like a belly bra.
It's more to be supportive, not to like smooth in shape.
Nice, okay.
Yes. Good on you, Amanda. That was a great... I've never worn one, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I was just so uncomfortable. And that's the second time that that's happened. The first time was over Labor Day weekend when I was on the couch that day on Labor Day. So I thought, you know what? I don't want to go through this a third time. It's super uncomfortable.
Yeah. So wait, did you not do the belly band with Zach?
No, I didn't. My stomach now is probably what I was. So I'm at 25 weeks. It was probably what it was when I was at like 35 weeks with Zach.
Wow.
Or maybe I'm exaggerating, but I didn't get bigger with Zach until about 30 weeks.
Mm.
I mean, I had a belly, but it just feels heavier this time around.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay. My friend who is also pregnant, who's blanket I'm working on as we speak.
Amanda really is knitting, guys.
It's crocheting.
Whatever.
Come on.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
She's crocheting.
There's a very distinct difference between yes. the two art forms.
I should have known because my mother crochets. I feel bad. I thought when I asked you what you were knitting, I immediately thought, wait, I think she might be crocheting.
But then yeah, crocheting is one hook. Knitting yes. is two needles. I find crocheting easier because it doesn't involve the same amount of counting. So it's I find it to be a little more mindless, that you just kind of go until there's no holes and then you go. Uh-huh. And knitting, you have to count and it's too much. But anyway.
The name refers to the needle.
Yeah, it's a crochet hook. It's got a little hook on the top.
Because that is the word for like a hook. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, to my point.
Shandy with a clutch language again.
So real excited.
This podcast has the best words.
Tremendous words.
Tremendous words. Believe me. But anyway, so my friend, who is also pregnant, who is due... was due in the beginning of December, but she's so big and the baby is so big, they told her that like she's gonna go early, like she's just plan on it. She's like, every time I move or like the kid moves, she's like, oh, that's it, this is happening, I'm going to labor right now. Like, he's sitting so low that like she's like, I sneezed, I'm like, oh god, it's happening. Okay, good to know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you guys doing for Halloween?
Whole lot of nothing. What are you doing?
Trick-or-treating.
Nice. Did we get to know the Glatfelter family Halloween costume? Or
yeah,
is it gonna be
I thought I told you guys. We are dressing up as... We're doing the Daniel Tiger family. And we're doing it for the sole reason that I really want to make Trolley. So I think it'll be awesome.
So how are you making... Like, what are you making Trolley at?
I found it on Pinterest. It was the... I have a radio flyer, like the wagon, and... I bought cardboard moving boxes. I had one left over and I bought two more because, you know, in case I mess up. I'm just going to cut it out and spray paint it the right color. Don't ask me when the fuck I'm going to have time to do this, but whatever.
Yeah, I know you. You'll find some time. You'll make a new day of the week.
Well, yes, we'll figure it out somehow. That's going to be the most time consuming. Mine's going to be super easy. Even if I run out of time on Saturday, because we're going to have people over on Saturday. Even if I run out of time on Saturday, I can seriously just hot glue gun the lace to mine, the collar of my shirt that morning. Zach's costume we actually just bought. And Zoe's I have to make. Zoe's going to be Miss Katarina the kitty cat. And I tried it on her, the two parts. I just need to sew I bought a mint green bodysuit for her. And then... the little tutu I found at Ross, actually, of all places. So
Zoe is so patient.
She's so patient. The costumes will be easy. Jay's going to be the dad, and he literally has the clothes in his closet. The only thing we might do is go to Goodwill, get him a pair of khakis, because Daddy Tiger doesn't wear pants. And we were joking about this in the car. Jay's like, how am I going to look like I'm not wearing any pants? And I was like, yeah, people are going to think that your tail is on the wrong side. Get it? So. So I think we're just going to do khakis. I ordered a tail for both of us from janejack.com/Amazon. I really did. And
for all
then
your home shopping needs.
For all our home shopping needs. I got a lot of my Halloween costume through Amazon this year. And I think I'm just going to go to Michael's and get brown felt and like cut them in the shapes of triangles and like, you know, hot glue them onto the khakis. It's just a matter of finding time to go do that, but we'll figure it out.
Exactly. Halloween's a whole week away.
A whole
week. So happy pre-Halloween, guys.
Yeah, happy pre-Halloween. I was going to try to find, I thought that I would be home an hour and a half earlier than I was. I was going to try to find some scary stories from Reddit or something to have a Halloween theme episode. Spooky. But instead, maybe we'll just play Werewolf Bar Mitzvah on the way out or something.
Yep. Or if you want a spooky, if you're not already listening to a spooked podcast, go listen to it when you're done listening to us.
Oh, yes. Oh, I finished Dirty John in under 24 hours, the podcast I teased last week. So it's from the LA.
I vaguely remember this.
It's from the LA Times. We have a feedback about this. I'll talk about it when we get to the feedback. So, okay. But yes, I did. So anyway, that should be good times. Good times, good times, good times. Shandy, you've been so quiet.
I know. What'd you do? How was your weekend?
I was trying to think back about what I did over the weekend. I had kind of an intense weekend, actually. Mostly like an intense Friday. I don't know if I've shared on the podcast before, but my dad died when I was little. And my uncle, like, wrote me out of the blue, like, a week ago. I was like, hey, I have this calendar that I took from your dad's apartment the year that he died. Like, would you be interested in it? It's like, yes. So he sent it to me, and I got it on Friday, and it was, like, it was, you know, I was just, like, heavy. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Did it have, like, just, like, notes and stuff written on it?
It had a bunch of little notes. And so I have, so I, like, yeah. Oh. And my birthday's in February, so, like, he had written stuff for my birthday. Like, it's pretty intense.
Oh, my God. I can't
imagine. A great thing to have.
That's why I can't believe my uncle was like, do you want this? Like, yes, not only do I want it, but thank you so much. So I'll have to look over it a little bit more closely. But, there's a lot of stuff written on it. And it's pretty fucking cool. And he's just had this for, 30-some years, 32 years?
Yeah.
So crazy. That was kind of how my weekend started. So on Friday, I went to a friend's birthday afterwards, and I had two drinks. So I was just like, I need to go to bed. Like, that was just
right. Really exhausting. I've had enough. Stick a fork in me.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And then Frog came home on Saturday, so we've been hanging out since then. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen him for a couple of weeks. Yeah. And that's about it. The rest was pretty uneventful.
I would say that was pretty eventful enough.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. It's like that little slice of life things are always the best mementos to have.
Totally. And like also just like out of the blue, like,
yeah,
wasn't expecting it.
That's also, the universe working for you.
Yes, definitely. And I have three brothers and I sent them pictures and I'm going to make them nice scans and everything. But just saying, my uncle said it to me, like, no big deal. Just, yeah. Whatever.
Cough, cough. I'm the favorite.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of intense. I don't know, I was like thinking about whether or not I was talking about it on the podcast, and then I had a whole like giant glass of wine before we recorded, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I worked my way through a margarita, but I like all but finished it before we started, so I was like,
So you guys can thank Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood for the loose lips on this show.
Oh my God, yes. But I had so much time to like look at like all these different things that Amanda had sent and like some things that another friend had talked about that's relevant to the podcast. So, yeah, I was just all over the interwebs also.
Yeah, meanwhile, I had time to do nothing. So, again, I'm really sorry.
No, it happens.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, not that there was anything to do.
Exactly.
Fair enough. We could go into Facey Back now if you guys want to, or I could read that sex sounds article, or I could save that for next week.
I think we have like quite a bit of feedback.
Yeah, maybe let's get into the feedback, because I feel like we have a few that we've been kind of pushing off.
All right, well then let's hit up the facey back.
Woo!
We had a bit of feedback to begin.
Thank from, you, cool boy.
From Dennis. We had talked about maternity leave and whatnot last week, and he said, one of my notable accomplishments at the USPS was to be the first father to take paternity leave in our city's administrative region when our twins were born. This was early 1987. Plan was for my wife, also a postal worker, to take a month of maternity leave, a combination of paid leave and unpaid leave, and then I would do the same. So I submitted the leave request form, and in the remarks section, I put paternity leave, which should have expedited the process. A few days later, I got a call from my boss's boss, a man. My boss, a woman, was on vacation. She wasn't involved yet. asking about my request. The gist of the conversation was that my request for leave was still being considered, but what was this paternity note? So explain the situation. He said that he wasn't sure he could approve the form with that notation. It had never been done before. I told him that I really didn't think denying paternity leave was an option under our contract. He said he would get back to me. So a few days later, I got a call from my boss, a woman, who had come back from vacation and been called into her boss's office to discuss my request. She told me her boss had raised concerns with her, and she asked him if he was crazy. There was no way she was going to not going to approve a paternity request. And after that, paternity leave was never an issue for anyone, which I think is pretty freaking awesome. I mean,
I think that's awesome. Just takes one person to start a thing.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy that it hadn't been a thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's so, so cool. And that's really awesome that Dennis did that and paved the way. And like, so now there's, I forget what act of like family leave.
Medical, it's FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act.
And yes. Okay. So you can take up to 6 weeks of leave and be guaranteed your...
Up to 12 weeks of leave and be guaranteed your job, but you're not guaranteed pay.
Are you sure it's up to 12
weeks? Yes.
I could have sworn it was up to six. Well, shit.
Or is it different from state to state? Or is it... It's federal.
California has something where... I think you're guaranteed to be paid for 6 weeks or something like that.
Right. I think New York, if they don't have, they have something that's like...
They have something in the works.
Going to the legislator. That's, yeah.
They have something in the works. But right now, the only federal mandate is the FMLA. Mm-hmm. And that is 12 weeks where they can hold your job for you.
Right.
But that's also... if you can afford to take off,
right?
Because you're not guaranteed pay.
And that was, and that was going to be my point. Is like, I think this is so awesome that, because like, there's no reason that you should be able to take off that time. But the problem is, it's not true paternity leave or maternity leave because you're not being paid from maternity leave or paternity leave. You're being paid from your own accumulated sick leave or annual leave that you're having to take. And so again, if you don't have that stored up, then you're not getting paid.
Right. Or if you don't work for a company that offers paid leave.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, and even if you do have, you know, like tons and tons and tons of sick leave, just like, you know, added up over time for that, like you're still taking your dedicated sick leave that you can't then use to go to the doctor. You know, it's just, it's
right. Because exactly what happens when you have to go to the doctor or like your other child has to go to the doctor and like you used up those days.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
But hey, like baby steps. So
see what you did there.
At least
I just think it's cool because there's, like you said, there's probably a lot of people after Dennis who are very grateful that somebody was able to set the precedent.
Yeah. Oh,
indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. And just the fact that like he knew he was on the right side and was just like, yeah, no, of course I'm going to put in for this. And it's a good story.
Yes.
Yay, Dennis.
Yes.
Yay. I think he also mentions about them having similar problems when they were younger with having one of their children being sick and not being able to go to, you know, the child care. And the first few times, so they would take turns taking off from work. The first few times I told them I had to leave because of a sick child, my boss would ask me why my wife wasn't staying home with him. I had to tell them it really wasn't any of their business. It was between me and my wife, and I was taking the leave. Didn't happen too often, but it goes to show, even in the late 80s, that kind of thinking was commonplace.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And that's what I love about leave now, even though our system is like still like super subpar, and like there are, you know, huge discrepancies depending on where you live. But like, for example, like I approve and disapprove of leave, like in my current role. But, like, you can't ask. Like, it doesn't matter. If somebody puts in for sick leave, basically you have to approve it. If somebody puts in for annual leave, like, if they have enough annual leave and there's no work-related reason not to approve it, like, I don't need to know where you're going. I don't need to know why you're taking leave or if you're even going on vacation or whatever.
Right, because why should an employer care?
Right.
Exactly. And it's none of my business why you want to take leave. Like, that's a right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right to take it.
Well, yeah. Not to mention that, like, there's been all sorts of studies shown that time away from work to go do something else is beneficial to productivity.
Yeah.
So So it's like employers should want you to use your time off.
Yes.
It's funny. You were talking about, you know, not needing to give a reason. I generally will say, like, I have a doctor's appointment or I have something if I need to take off. But when I was doing therapy, I would just say I have an appointment because I didn't want, I mean, they kind of knew I was going, but I didn't want to like broadcast it. Right. And tomorrow morning, actually, or 3 days ago, whenever you hear this, Jay and I are going, we have appointments for the TSA pre-check interviews.
Nice. Oh, like global entry or?
I don't think it's, I don't know if it's global entry. I just know it's the pre-check. We picked up these little like business cards on the way out of RDU yesterday and I like stuck it in the back of my phone and was like, I can't stand like not having to take everything off and it's only going to get worse once I have to do the whole stroller thing again.
Yep.
So I'm just going to make life easier and we're just going to suck it up and do the pre-check. And yeah, totally. So, but I didn't,
it's great.
I didn't want everyone to know that, like, because that's something that I could probably do on my own time because they're open on Saturdays and they're open after work. But I took the first available appointment, which was tomorrow at 9:10. And I didn't want everyone to know because I came in late yesterday, too. So I was like, I have an appointment and I'm hoping that they're all going to be like, oh, she's got a baby thing. We won't question it.
Well, like, and those things go really quick. If it's the like the global entry, because Daniel did global entry to prepare for Morocco, and I did not. Oh. It was a bit of a sticking point between the two of us, because I didn't want to spend the money, but...
Christy did. Yeah. My sister did it. She said she was in and out. They took her early. Like, her appointment was at, let's say, 12:15.
Yeah.
She got there at 12:05, and she was out at, like, 12:11. She was like, I was out before my appointment time was even scheduled to start.
Same with Daniel. It's like a group thing. They bring you a bunch of you in all at once, and they're like, here you go. Here's the information. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah. Did you give us your check? You've never been a criminal. You're not Muslim. Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in, like, any way other than it's probably how it goes.
Right.
I don't know that. That was irresponsible to say. Sorry. It's just a joke. Huh. Current political climate joke. No. Yeah. So hopefully that'll be good. And if anybody that I work with is listening to, sorry, I purposely left it ambiguous. But that's where I was on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock.
No, I think honestly, you guys fly so much, I can't believe that you haven't done it already.
I can't believe either. I can't believe either. I made a comment to Zach yesterday morning when we landed at Raleigh because he was trying to like push his way off the plane. I was like, Zach, this is like your seventh or eighth plane that you've been on since Labor Day. You know how to get off a damn plane at this point.
Manners, please.
Yeah. I've flown like, what, 8 times this past year? More than that. I mean, it's not as much as like someone who travels for business like Joanne or whatever, but I feel like I should have had pre-check ages ago.
Right. So. It does make a difference. I have the Delta SkyMiles Amex card, and I don't know if that's like part of the perk, but I seem to get TSA pre-check a lot more since I've got that card.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it really does make a difference. Particularly like certain airports, like LaGuardia, it saves so much time. And we'll fly in and out of Atlanta. It saved so much time out of that airport too.
I bet.
It is nice. It is a nice perk.
Yeah. I've had it like the random selection like once or twice and it was great. And again, I don't know why I just didn't do this years ago. But anyway, yay. Okay. And then finally, this was about our discussion with the sexual assault from last week. I was really surprised and frankly disappointed by your math concerning how 1 of 5 women have been raped. So, of course, that means 1 in 5 men are rapists. You are attributing only 1 rape per rapist, question mark. So I think this statement needed some clarification. There was a bit of drama in the Jay and Jack's patrons group about the intent of this. Amanda, do you want, even though I have now listened and had to quote it verbatim, the entire paragraph of what you said, do you want to explain? It was merely the discussion was, we were talking about how a simple change in language, instead of saying 1 in 5 women are raped, why not say, for example, 1 in 5 men are raped? Amanda, you can take it away. I think I've written out the explanation. about 100 times today, so right. All you.
Right. And to be fair, big kudos to you two ladies. I was kind of, I was radio silent from the social medias the past couple of days, just because work has been so crazy, and I was out last night, so I didn't have a chance to respond. And by the time I did have a chance to follow up on everything, we were going to record, so it kind of felt moot. But yeah, I actually didn't, when I was going through everything, I didn't even realize it was something that I had said, because it was kind of taken out of context a tiny bit. It was meant to just be like a random number, just to state the larger point of flipping the way we think about rape and putting the impetus on the raper as opposed to the victim. So really, like, those, like, I pulled 1 in 5 out of my butt, and I probably should have, just for, you know, dotting I's and crossing T's, I probably should have specified that it wasn't an actual statistic, but I didn't. As far as I was concerned, I thought I was speaking in the same regard as, like, apples versus oranges. Words. But... yeah, so I'm sorry it caused such a kerfuffle on the internet. That is not at all the point I was trying to get home, and I'm sorry that our overall point got a little lost in the semantics of it, and I should think a little more carefully about my words before they exit my mouth next
time.
I think
it was just a misunderstanding that got blown out of proportion.
Yeah,
because people that don't listen to the show decided to take it and run with it without knowing the context of the full 45 minutes of the conversation.
Right. And that's also a fair point of, like, getting all of the information before you speak to something.
Right. I mean, and you know, I think it was something that probably could have been taken care of after the first, like, oh my God, it would be, I think my first comment was, oh my God, that would be very irresponsible to assert that as true. But I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, that this was just like a for example kind of thing. Unfortunately, it didn't end there. And if you want to read more of the discussion, you too can become a patron at patreon.com/JandJack.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the episode of transitions.
Yay.
I have some thoughts on this, unless you were just about to say something.
I was not.
I think the thoughts I was probably going to say are probably in line with what you're going to say, and you're probably going to say them more eloquently, so go ahead.
Plus, Amanda's afraid to talk, so thanks, Dennis. I'm just kidding.
Although now I feel like I have to have, like, the New York Times
But you should.
Mother Jones and the census up.
Here's my sort of reaction to all of this. First and foremost, I don't think that you need to be so concerned about the words coming out of your mouth. Like, I think that we all know you as a very thoughtful person, and so you're not going to willfully, like, make things up. I think for all of us, it was very clear that you were just semantically, like, using the same construction. We talk about 1 in 5 women getting raped. We were flipping that on its head. That was the whole point. So if people didn't understand that, I feel like we've clarified that, and hopefully everyone's cool with that. Now, here's where
I think
the conversation...
Yes.
I would hope so, because I just hate that the actual point of the discussion got lost.
It didn't, because we had a wonderful comment from Fallon below that, so...
Okay, sorry, Shanti, go ahead.
That's okay. Sorry. Here's my other thing, because I've been thinking about this for about 24 hours now, and talking to one of my friends who works at the Rape Crisis Center, and, like, trying to sort of, like, figure out, like, what... like, stuck in my craw a little bit about this whole conversation. And I think what got to me a little bit is just, or what I noticed from this whole conversation was, facts are important, especially in this era of post-facts. Like, I will very strongly state that, yes, facts are important. Mm-hmm. But why is it that people got so up in arms when we're talking about the stats of perpetrators? And I don't think, now maybe I'm putting words into Dennis's mouth, because I don't think that's necessarily why he was reacting that way. But it's interesting. So I started thinking, okay, what are the stats for perpetrators? What, you know, how, is 1 in 5 so crazy, actually, of because we were all immediately like, oh, no, 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 we didn't mean that. Of course, 1 in 5, that's insane. So 1 in 5, first of all, that's not the amount of, that's not really the actual stat for women that will be sexually assaulted in their life. I think it's more like 1 in 4 if you consider.
Yeah, it's,
I am
it's on, pretty ridiculous. Like, it's one of those things when you do hear it, you're like, oh, that can't be right.
I'm
and
on.
This is also coming straight from my friend who works at the Rape Crisis.
Okay, yeah, because I'm on RAIN.org right now, and they say 1 out of every 6 American women has been the victim of an attempted or completed rape in her lifetime.
Right, but when you count also for the non-reporting...
Well, I was just going to say, now, of course, statistics are only what are reported, so there's right. always a margin of error either way.
So my friend said that's like the... Right, that's the estimate when you account for that. So 1 in 4, okay. So already there's that. We talked a lot about, like, serial rapists, and, like, there's a lot of research to back it up that a lot of people who... rape somebody, do it more than once. So it can't be a 1-to-1 ratio. Like, okay, I will concede that fact. Absolutely. Because a lot of people that are doing the raping are doing it to more than one woman. But here's where the thing gets a little bit more murky because, okay, so now we've already said that it's not 1 in 5, it's 1 in 4 women that will be raped. So already the 1 in 4 to 1 in 5, that's no longer a 1-to-1. But even more than that, I mean, consider how many women you know who have been the victim of sexual assault more than once by more than one person. And just in my personal life, like, I know multiple women that fall into that category. So there's that. That's maybe something that should be taken into account as well. And then also I think that we really, as a whole culture, sort of don't properly take into account what exactly sexual assault is, because most people who assault women, like, they don't think about it as sexual assault. They don't think about what they did. Like, they're not thinking, like, you know, it's not like your stereotypical, like, man from behind a bush with a gun holds you down and rapes you. Like, it's much more subtle than that in most instances. So again, I'm still not saying that it's 1 in 5 men. My friend who, again, works at the Rape Crisis Center said that she thinks she had seen the stat 11% somewhere that was sticking out in her mind. So I can keep looking into that and, like, see, like, where that came from. But if you think about it, 11%, that's 1 in 10. So are we really so crazily far off? It's just something to think about. All this is about holding men accountable. And one of the comments on the patron group was, how could women possibly get through the day if you're really thinking that 1 in 5 men could rape you? It's like, well, that, I mean, therein lies...
Yeah.
The question that we all as women sort of have to ask ourselves every single day. And so to this point, I posted in the patron group, I'll share it here. The Heart Radio is a wonderful, wonderful podcast. And they did a mini series called No, and it has 4 episodes. Do yourself a favor and listen to that, because it will put into perspective some of these sort of just weird in between situations, but from a woman's point of view. So where the guy didn't think he was doing anything wrong, but it stays with the woman for years and can possibly, like, ruin friendships. Like, these are not, you know, the crazy, like, man behind the bush with the gun. Like, this is your friends. And, you know, so I would say, first of all, listen to that. And then second of all, my friend who, again, I was talking about all the rape with, she reminded me of a person who's really interesting to look into, and I can post this also, but his name is, I just lost it. Here we go. So Jackson Katz, K-A-T-Z. And he did a TED Talk that I actually saw a while ago, where it's exactly what we were talking about on our last episode, just about how you need to, like, change the way that we talk about it, because it's important. The distinction between the example that he starts out with is the distinction between saying that John beats Mary versus Mary is beaten by John versus Mary is beaten versus Mary is a battered woman, etc. So, you know, apply that to sexual assault, same thing. It's all part of the same problem. And that's why I understand that, like, some of these things when I'm talking about, like, the sort of in-between sketchy things, like, it's not the same as sexual assault, but they're all related. Any type of like abuse, violence, etc. Like, it's all connected. It's all part of the same problem. So anyway, that's all I have to say about that. So,
right. And that might actually have been the exact TED Talk that I was referencing. Because originally I was quoting something that a friend of mine had posted on their Facebook that was a direct quote from someone else. So that's probably where that came from.
Probably, yes.
I don't know.
It's if, so good.
I don't know how accurate this is, but if it gives you an idea on this RAIN website, I mean, the highest amount of sexual offenders are going to be somebody that you know. That's the perpetrators, yep. Rather. Let's see. 7 out of 10 rapes. Now, this is from, again, RAIN.org. 7 out of 10 rapes are committed by someone known to the victim. That's 28% are committed by a stranger. 45% are committed by an acquaintance. 25% are committed by a current or former spouse, boyfriend, or girlfriend. 6% are committed by more than one person, or the victim cannot remember. And 1% are committed by a non-spouse relative. These stats are from a survey done 2010 to 2014, and it was published in 2015. Also, now that I've, of course, just lost where my place was, I think you had said, 11%, Shandy, was the stat you remember at the top of your head, on here.
My friend remembered, to be fair.
Okay, your friend remembered. Here it says the 1 out of 6 women statistic, the rest of it is 14.8% have been completed, 2.8% attempted. So I don't know if there's some kind of ratio that you can figure out from approximately 15% and approximately 11%, but I'm sure that somebody out there can do math, figure that out if they wanted to. I don't mean to say this in a laughing tone. I was just more laughing at the fact that I can't do math. So, yes, but there are some statistics out there, and a lot of them, because unfortunately, more women are going to be, that's how you get the statistics, right? More women are going to walk in and say, I would like to report a sexual assault, or more victims are likely to go in and provide these statistics versus a man's not going to walk into a police station or a hospital and go, So I just raped these 15 different women, or, you know, so how would we actually, you know, what right. way is there to accurately collect the data? But it would be nice to try to figure it out.
Right. And I think you touched on a really important point that stats in this arena are really hard to get accurate just because there is such a stigma and so many go unreported. So it's really hard to pinpoint what an exact stat even is, because there's probably a greater amount that go unreported than go reported.
Well, right. And even the ones that are reported, the way that those are handled and the whole system that is built up against the victims reinforces why we don't have stats about the perpetrators. Because if you're not convicting people, then you know, they're not going to end up as a stat. So,
exactly. And even if you're not filling out that paperwork.
Right. And even if you do convict someone, you don't know how many other victims they've realistically had in total.
Right. But the actual, like, the amount of people that actually get convicted. Is like.
Yeah. Well, like, the Hunting Ground had a good statistic on, like, reported versus unreported, the documentary.
Okay.
In any case, To be fair, I don't think, you know, we don't
we're not
profess to be journalists. But again, this is also a conversation we're going to keep coming back to. So I don't think we have to worry about getting all the stats 100% right tonight, because this will be a conversation I think we're going to be having for the next.
Totally.
But I will say, out of everybody that commented on that thread, 3 out of 5 people listened to this show.
Right. And if we could get that number a little higher, I think it would really enhance the conversation.
But yes. Oh, I'm 100%
sorry. 100% is what we're shooting for.
4 out of 6 people, all 4 of those people had productive comments. So speaking of, though, that conversation, we did have something from Fallon, which was, and we want to hear what more of the women listeners have to say, if they do have anything to say about the subject. But Fallon had said, I was thinking about the idea of flipping the Me Too hashtag around, and I thought something like, hashtag I promise to do better, For example, my post could say, I promise to immediately believe a victim until the facts or story deem otherwise.
I like it.
Yes.
Drake said, I believe in goats' rights. So I'm glad that somebody is still standing up for the baby goats out there.
Right, right. Baby goats are underrepresented in society. So yes. they need champions.
Yes. Overrepresented in yoga. Apparently.
Oh. Yeah. Way too overrepresented.
Especially in Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently.
But speaking of Fallon, she had a post, does Colleen want any of these? The absolute worst part of being pregnant for me was people wanting to touch and rub my belly. It gives me the shivers just thinking about it. I may not have been able to bend over to pick up anything from the floor, but I could accomplish some Matrix-like ninja moves if it meant avoiding any unsolicited belly rubs. People should think back to one of the first rules they were ever taught, keep your hands to yourself. And the picture is just a couple of shirts that say things like, don't fucking touch me. Do not touch the bump. Yes, I'm pregnant. No, it's not twins. Yes, I am sure. Yes, it's a boy. No, you can't touch my belly. Yeah, I get. I am very guilty of being overly sensitive of that kind of stuff. Even one of my coworkers, who I love dearly, the first time that she saw a hint of belly, I think I'd come back from like Pier Bar or something, and I was in a tighter shirt, and she like, I was at the copy machine, and she goes, "I see a little belly," and touches it, and I was like, "Girl." I Crystal love you, but no.
Just because it's bigger doesn't mean it's okay to touch it. Like, would you touch it if there was nothing growing inside it? Except for the sandwich I ate.
Yes.
So. No, you would not.
But yeah, we've got some goat ones. Does anybody want to read the goats?
Well, yeah, Amy wrote in goats.
Exclamation mark. Good reading. Wait,
what? She said, hi, ladies. Sorry, I'm an episode behind. Here's where the goats go when they grow up. They're rented out to eat poison ivy. No joke. Huh. They're not affected like humans are. This farm is down the street from my childhood home. The goats recently spent a few weeks in the town park and developed quite a following. Love the show. Amy from Massachusetts. So, and she shared www.goats2go.farm. I didn't realize that there was a dot farm.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but actually, now that she says that, I know that there's a hill, like, where I'm from, the town that I'm from, and there's, like, always a herd of, like, sheep up there, and it's for that kind of similar, I don't know if it's poison ivy or some other noxious weed, but they are up there for that purpose of eating it. So, hey.
Right, and I there had actually...
I can be a shepherd.
I'd actually forgotten. They're doing the same thing in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. They brought in a herd of goats to, like, graze, like, to clean out an area of the park that they were bringing back and going to, refurbish.
This was...
So, yeah, there was goats roaming around eating all the shrubbery.
My knowledge about this is this was a trivia question on one of the Sunday NPR shows.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. Jay got it right. I didn't, but...
I was going to say, and thanks to our listeners, you got it right. But
thank you, Amy. I'm really excited to have this answer, and it is not that they get eaten. Although I still think that when they get older. Drake also had a follow-up about the goat break-in story.
No, I guess that's my turn, huh?
If you want.
Hello, ladies. So where does one have to live to get baby goats breaking in? I live in South Carolina next to a military base, and I'm surrounded by farms, trees, a few streams, and a lake. That sounds very picturesque. Mm-hmm. Other than the cotton-eyed goat visit, man, that rug brought the room together.
Yes. I have Amanda's woken up- got some rugs for you.
True. It's true. One that we might sell. We'll see. We can talk about it. I have woken up to a deer on the porch or in the yard. Rabbits live in my backyard. Stray cats, opossums, lizards, the neighborhood dogs, trash pandas, and turtles that like to chill on the porch too. My goodness, this is a downright menagerie. those are the non-dangerous animals that make me feel like a Disney princess, which I'm sure Matt has no problem with a big burly man playing. I also get snakes, wild boar, big spiders. Oh, Black Widows, Brown Recluse. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's horrible. They jump at you.
Oh, gross. A jumping spider. No thanks. And the occasional wolf or mountain lion. Man, and they don't eat like the everything else? My goodness. I did have a few cute mountain lion kittens dropped off on my porch, and they were rehomed after a vet
what
visit.
The what?
I know. I think we need a follow-up story on that situation. I have yet to be visited by Dildo Claws or his helper, Anonymous 69. Maybe I haven't been naughty enough. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Dildo Claws. Why didn't we come up with that name last week?
I know. I'm disappointed in us.
I mean, I think we have that in our bag of, whatever.
Yeah.
He put in the trash pandas, aka raccoons, in the not dangerous animals, but I just want to point out that they are a rabies vector, so you watch out.
Right.
They are cute, but holy shit, they are horrible and will give you rabies and
they
crawl
are.
Under your mailbox.
Guys. They are cute in real life. I was at a friend's house on like Labor Day, and we were hanging out, and they were sort of saying how there was like a raccoon that kind of hangs around, and their feral cat like gets into it with the raccoon. Mm. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden I see this big fuzzy face like jump over, like come hanging over the tall fence. And it like took me a second to register that it was a freaking raccoon, because it just looked big and cute and fluffy.
All right, then. Like,
it's a raccoon.
Did I tell the story on the podcast about how I found a raccoon under my building that had crawled in there to die?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then it was kind of like a Wicked Witch of the West style, like stuck.
Dirty and nasty and mean and super aggressive, but very cute.
Yeah.
So they're a better cute than asshole.
It's like
cute
a baby.
Asshole that could give you rabies. Yeah.
Well, babies. Well,
I heard one in five men are like that.
Now you're just stirring the pot.
You know, for a second there, I was like, Matt, who the fuck is Matt? We never talked about last week how we listened to the top 10 actresses list that Matt gave.
Which, oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course, now, like, 3 weeks removed from it, I don't fucking remember, but.
I think my comments as I was, like, live commenting in the chat was, they're talking more about men than they are about women.
Right. I think they couldn't go more than 30 seconds without bringing a man into it. So I think that was my big gripe too.
I guess in Matt's list, 1 in 10 men can play a mean woman.
Yeah. Although,
I mean, which kind of like reinforces my previous right. comment.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Tu Wong Fu as well. But, I mean, maybe an actual transgendered woman would have been a better choice for there.
All right, then.
Okay.
Where do you go from there?
I don't know.
Here's where we go, to Dirty John. Matt sent in an email. Sorry you guys spoke about this already. I'm a couple episodes behind. Got the flu for a second time in 2 months and was immediately followed up with a horrible ear infection. I've just been able to put my headphones back into my ears this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That sounds awful.
I know. Ear infections are like tooth infections because you can't get to them, so they just hurt.
Mm. Right.
Ugh. Have you guys listened to the true crime podcast, Dirty John? It's very interesting. It's about a con artist taking advantage of women. Lots of life lessons. I want my wife to listen to it, and I'd want my daughter to listen to it when she's older. My sister was in a mentally/emotionally abusive relationship for years, and my family was always worried about something similar to this story taking place. He would always make her believe the family was against her and didn't want her to be happy. Meanwhile, he was living in their basement rent-free and bill-free, mooching off them. He had no job, no friends left, and it was always someone else's fault for failed endeavors. My parents were afraid to kick him out because they knew if they did, they would lose their daughter and grandkids. Luckily, she's mostly out of it. They had two kids together. Moral of the story, love is blind. Your friends and family aren't. Matt. I had responded with, oh my God, I just talked about this. I'm going to talk about it more next week. And he was like, I figure you'd be all over it. Any other podcast you'd like to like this that you'd like to recommend? If you mean in the true crime drama true crime family. I think our friend Mike is, he's got a spreadsheet that he shared with me and Jessica. It's like an Excel, like, Google Doc thing. And it's just got, it's like, I think it came from Reddit. It just, people add to it constantly. It's just a whole list of true crime podcasts and, like, rating, wow, like, them. Yeah, it's pretty intense. And my comment at first, I think he sent it to me last year the first time, and I was like, awesome, I'll look. And then I looked at it, and I was like, why don't you just tell me which ones are good?
This is a lot.
So maybe, Mike, if you're listening, you can link to that in the thread for this episode, or you guys can just, you know, discuss it there. But I really like Unconcluded. It's about a woman who disappeared in a town outside of Orlando, Florida, back in 2006, maybe? That one's pretty good. I'm trying to think what else. Let me think what... Oh, Accused. The first season... The Accused just started second season, and I'm kind of like, on it. But the first season, I totally talked about here. It's about a woman who was murdered. She was like a high college senior or something, but she was murdered just coming back from Christmas break or one of those holiday breaks back in the 70s. And it's a really, really fascinating story because the person that was tried for the crime at the time, there's a lot of, like, timeline doesn't add up kind of evidence that he likely didn't do it. I don't think he was convicted. They investigate some other people some of who were, like, really kind of enthusiastic to talk about how it's really, really great. I wanted to see if the woman who hosts the show would ever come on as a guest to talk to us, but I mean, I'm sure she's no big deal, so she probably wouldn't. But, like, I really, really enjoy that one, and I think that the first season of it is easily bingeable in a couple of days. I listened to it in like 3 days, so I would totally recommend starting with those two things. As far as Dirty John goes, I listened to the whole thing in under 24 hours. I was listening to it in bed one night, like, with my headphones on and the covers, and I was like, why am I doing this? I'm not going to remember what I listened to in the morning, and it's just going to give me nightmares in the middle of the night anyway. But it's intense. It's kind of exactly what he said. It's like a con artist, but you don't really know who he is or where the story is going. You just know from the beginning that he's clearly taking advantage of this woman, and he's clearly not what he has told her. And it's fascinating. It's like I said last week, it's kind of like they got this crazy human... I haven't read that much about the backstory, but it's kind of like how they got this crazy human interest piece, and they were like, you know, this would make a great audio article in the form of a podcast instead of, you know, write a long-ass newspaper series article. It's totally do recommend it after you listen to this. And you can easily listen to us and then listen to that one in a day and then come back and listen to our next episode. It's very bingeable. So, nice. Yeah, that... I really did love Dirty John. Even though I kind of figured out what was going to happen about 5 minutes before it happened, 10 minutes before it happened, I still was like, holy shit. So, okay, the end. Okay, what else do we got? It might be time for other people to talk.
Okay. So we have an email that says, what's the best way to handle mean girls in high school? One of the girls is telling lies about my daughter and she's losing friends over it. Any advice? Yeah, as a woman without daughters, I can't give any advice there. I was picked on in high school and middle school, so I certainly sympathize with her. But yeah, do you guys have any thoughts? I did a little research on the interwebs, but before we get to that, if you guys wanted to give any advice.
Not really. I was friends with mainly boys in high school and didn't really ever have to deal with this, but I would just, you know, try to make sure you reinforce support at home and let her know that, you know, she's worth more than what some fucking assholes in high school think. Because it's only 4 years, and I know it's hard to tell somebody when they're in it, but it's only 4 years of your life, and, you know, 10 years out of high school, nobody really even remembers. I mean, you know what I mean. It's one of those. It's tough. I don't know. Just give her support at home and let her know that there's a place for her somewhere. And Amanda, do you wanted to talk about some of the stuff that you had looked up?
Yes. So in reading this email, when I first read this email, it made me think of an article that I had read in Real Simple magazine that I thought would lend some better, maybe more constructive advice than we could. And so their tips were, number one, validate her feelings. If your daughter is the target of relational aggression, the first step is empathy. Especially with younger kids, it's very important to help them build their emotional vocabulary. Try saying, you must be feeling really sad and left out right now. You want your child to name her feelings in the moment so she can develop healthy ways of coping. Number two is ask questions. Most young children do not have the language skills to fully express their feelings, so you can play reporter and get to the root of whatever emotions your child is experiencing. But you should resist the urge to brush aside these seemingly offhand comments and instead use them as a springboard to discussion. Yeah, replace with a, tell me why you think that girl isn't nice. When you are curious and engage your child learns both that it is safe to come and speak to you and that her feelings matter. Number three, brainstorm solutions together. Don't stop at listening to why your daughter is upset. Once your child is talking, ask, what do you feel like doing when you're with a girl who's not being nice? This helps your child navigate and go inside herself to think about her options, then validate her suggestions. I understand that when you're hurting, you might want to hit back, but what is another way you could react? By allowing your daughter to work through her own solutions, she will learn that she has the ability to respond to conflict in her own way. I like that one. I think that one's a good one. Number four, watch your language. It's easy to call someone a mean girl, but it isn't necessarily fair. The expert they talked to said, I would caution parents not to label kids. Your daughter is likely to be going to school with these peers for a long period of time. A mean girl in the fourth grade can become a perfectly nice, decent person by the sixth grade. Instead, label the behavior that was hurtful, not the girl herself. Yeah, I think that's also a really good point. And I think there's plenty of opportunity for, yeah, someone that, because you never know what's fueling someone to be unkind. It might be something going on in their personal life that they might grow through and yeah, not be such a jerk as they get older. Number five, prepare her for the challenges of social media. Many kids are getting access to social media before they're ready. As a parent, you need to have access to what they're doing online in every situation. While Instagram and Snapchat may seem like a playground of fun filters and stickers, there's a lot of stressors that come along with using them. I tell the girls they will feel left out. Skip that part. skip that part. It's fine. Social media. We all know it exists. Number six, maintain her trust. I think that's a pretty obvious one. Number seven, create family time, whether it's family dinner or board game at night, a trip to Starbucks for a treat, create space and time to truly talk at least once a week, they suggest. And number eight, don't panic. No parent wants to see her child hurt or in distress, but try to keep your cool. Difficult moments are learning opportunities. They teach girls what they want, how to advocate for themselves, how to compromise, and how to forgive. Think about how much you learned from your friendships, even during the most difficult moments. So hopefully those offer a bit of help and keep us posted on how it goes.
Yes, and if anybody out there has any advice, please let us know. I think that our email author would probably really appreciate, you know, it's tough to watch a child or a friend or anybody go through anything and not feel helpless. So if you have any suggestions, broadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Sorry, Amanda.
Yeah. Well, and it's a universal problem. I think most male or female, I think everyone, if you were not teased yourself growing up, you know someone who has. So yeah, I'm sure we have lots of listeners out there that have some really great, great experience and suggestions, because it's more common, unfortunately, than not.
Yes. I have a Zach bully story, kind of. This is kind of not, it's kind of related in that it's a bully kid, but it's kind of also not related in that it's clearly a different situation. A year ago, last fall, Zach was in the 2-year-old room, and he told me in the car, like, after he was acting weird, and he told me we took him to get a haircut, and then after in the haircut, he told me that this kid, who I will call Joey, had bit him. And we knew that this kid, this is not his name, had been aggressive with other children in the classroom, that he had been. There was always a lot of incident reports that mentioned his name. Mm-hmm. And I guess this particular time, Zach had a bite mark, and he talked about it for a little while after. And we cut ahead a full year, and Zach and this kid are in the same class again. I believe this child is a winter baby and Zach is a June baby. So they're only in the same classroom for a few months at a time, because they tend to keep them in like 6 months blocks. And I got a discipline note for Zach last week that said another child was building a masterpiece out of blocks and Zachary knocked it down, and then that child bit him in retaliation. And I'm talking, Zach had like a big ass bite on his arm, but you know, in the car I was like, what happened? And you know, he was like, you know, I knocked down Joey's tower. And I was like, Zachy, why would you knock down his tower? That's not very nice. And he goes, well, he bit me. And I said, but Zach, he bit you after you knocked down the tower. He shouldn't have bit you. That was wrong. But you shouldn't have knocked down his tower. And he goes, he bit me in Miss Tasha's class. So he had remembered from a year earlier.
Wow.
And he must have seen this tower and been like, Sicilian all the way. Right. Fuck you, Joey.
It's like, I'm patient. I know how to wait.
Yeah. He must have been like, I'm almost your height now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I was
I'm
like,
kind of impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of impressed, but it's also like, okay. So let's be clear, buddy.
Plus, like, off. Shit. Now he's bit him again. So, like, just wait for, like, what's going to go like a year from now.
Well, he came home today and he's been sick. So I only sent him for a half a day. And he had a big bruise right here on his, like, under his eye, his upper cheekbone area. And they had warned me, they had sent me an email being like, just so you know, we got hit with a block. And like the first thing he says when I pick him up, he was like, Frankie threw a block at me, but it's okay. It was an accident. I'm not mad.
Yeah, what he feels in a year.
No, I was like, oh my God. Cut to preschool graduation where this kid goes to get his like little kid diploma and Zachary like trips him.
That's for the block.
Yeah.
Zachary Gladfelter doesn't forget.
Oh, Shandy, you're muted. I know I can see Shandy laughing, but
I muted myself because somebody just came in the room.
Oh, okay.
And look what he brought me.
Beer.
Oh,
beer. I'm so jealous.
Cheers.
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 So yeah, Zachy, don't forget. I've got a little mafioso in training, a little right. Sicilian.
Yeah.
Hi!
Just say hi.
Hello? Hi, Frank.
Just say hi.
Hi.
That's right. He can't hear you.
Hi. Anyway.
Come say hi.
Oh, hi. Hi.
Hello.
He works well. How are you?
Hanging in
well,
there.
How are you?
Oh my God, you have pistachios.
I do have pistachios.
You have some wine?
Pistachios? I did have some wine.
That's really cool. I like it. Hello. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, let's, real quick, we got a voicemail from Desiree. All right, take it away, Des.
Hey, Amanda, Colleen, and Shandy. This is Des. I was just calling to say that meetup.com is a great place to make adult friends. Colleen had mentioned it on the last episode, and I've been on Meetup for nearly a decade now, and I am in a couple groups. I'm in a movie group that's not very active, and then I'm in a board game group that is active. We host board game nights here at my house through Meetup. I have met lots of really cool people through the years, and I have made some friends through the group, and I met my husband through Meetup. He showed up at a movie night, and the rest is history, as they say. So Meetup's definitely a good place to meet friends. They have so many different kinds of meetups depending on, you know, the city you live in and what people have, you know, put on there. Anything from, like, politics and pets and parenting to things like singles groups and, like, adventure groups. You know, they have running groups, book clubs, just about anything you can think of. They have them on there. The bigger your city, the more different types of meetups you will find on there in your area. But I highly recommend you can have a fun time doing things you like to do, and you can meet some really cool people who also like to do the things you do. So definitely a recommendation from me. And then I had another question, Colleen. I've been using the Jay and Jack link for Amazon for a while now, and I don't spend a lot of money on there, you know, because we're poor, but when I do buy something on Amazon, I make sure I use your link. It's bookmarked and everything, so I don't have to think about it. I just open it up and there it is. Doesn't affect my Amazon purchase at all. But the other day I had to make a return, and I was just wondering if they take those few cents you got from that purchase away from you when I return it, or do they let you keep that? Just a question. I wasn't sure. I will keep buying through the link and supporting you guys the only way I can right now. But I do love listening. I love the show. I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
That was Des and Astrid.
A ringing endorsement of the meetup.
I know.
Yeah. Dude, I want to join a board game meetup. That sounds so fun.
Yeah, it does.
Pretty well, cool. And also the fact that she met her husband through a meetup. I think that's so romantic and so sweet.
Yes, I like that a lot.
Yes, a ringing endorsement of Meetup indeed.
Indeed. I don't know if they take the money away. I think that they do adjust it in some way. I honestly don't follow it like that closely. It would probably be a good question for Jack. I'm sure he knows it, you know, off the top of his head. It's kind of more his area of expertise. But don't feel bad about returning anything, because I seriously buy and return shit from Amazon on the regular. So, like, for example, my Halloween costume, I had to buy two different pairs of shoes because I didn't know which size I was going to be. So I bought both pairs and figured I'd return the one that didn't. So don't even worry about it. And thank you for shopping with us.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And then we have one more voicemail from Maggie, and it is actually addressed to Linda, Shannon, and Colleen. So,
yes, I'll be Linda. It's all right. You can call me Linda. I'll allow it.
So,
I love it.
All right. Let's hear what Maggie has to say.
Hi, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie calling. Hi, how are you? I am just calling with some feedback for some of the listeners who've had questions about other stuff. I believe it was CJ who's asking about habits and why he can do stuff for other people that has trouble doing for himself. There's actually an author, her name is Gretchen Rubin, and she has a book about kind of habits, a few books about habits and stuff, but she is discover there's kind of four personality types when it comes to habits, and an upholder, obliger, a questioner, and a rebel. And basically an obliger needs other people to help them keep their habits. They can do things for other people, but they have trouble doing some for themselves. Questioners question things. Upholders can meet inner and outer expectations, and rebels have trouble meeting both inner and outer expectations. But it's very interesting stuff. I'm kind of obsessed with kind of habits and things. Gretchen Rubin has a podcast called Happier with Gretchen Rubin. Multiple books. The one that just came out about the tendencies is the called The Four Tendencies. But she also wrote The Happiness Project and a few other books. So there's that. And then I think it was Laura who was asking about making friends as an adult. Definitely try some of those things the ladies mentioned last week. And the other one, the one that worked the most for me, because I had moved to a new place as an adult and didn't have any friends, was going to church and finding a church. And how I did it was I took a religion quiz online and to find out what I was, and based on that, and then I found a church. Luckily, there was one nearby. And that is how I found my people. And that really, I tried intramural sports. It didn't quite work for me. I didn't go very often, to be fair. And I tried meetup groups. I would meet some people, but it didn't always work. Didn't work as well as I thought. But the one that worked for me was going to a church. So after taking a religion quiz, and I found, for me, a liberal religion called Unitarian Universalism. So that was for me. So that, it kind of sounds, I know it kind of sounds like, oh, going to church, like what, really? But it is a way to meet people. So for friends and not just in general. So I think that's probably enough rambling for me. I will talk to you ladies later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Again, Maggie comes through with the clutch information. So those are all awesome. She said CJ asking about habits. I think she meant Andy from an email a few weeks ago. Because I was going to say, out of all the people who got name checked in this podcast, definitely one out of like the five of them doesn't listen to the show. So probably wouldn't have written in about habits.
Oh, sweeper.
He has a habit of not listening. Is that what you're saying?
He's too busy pissing in sinks.
Yep, that's right. It takes up a lot of time.
It does. It really does. JK, JK, JK. No, but seriously, in all seriousness, thank you, Maggie. And I'm sure if anybody out there wants more details or links of the stuff that she was talking about, I will ask her the Gretchen Rubin book to link it in the show notes, and I'm sure she'll be more than happy to post the links in the Facebook group, the thread for this episode, which if you are not a member of the Facebook group, the regular one, it's facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup, or you can just search Jay and Jack Facebook group on Facebook, and I'm sure it will come up. And we'd be more than delighted to have you there. We have a This Week in Andy's Virginity, but I think we are going to save it for next week just so we can properly address it, since we are running a little bit long right now. That's what she said. So, again, blame Daniel Tiger, because it's after midnight over here and Mama's tired.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for next week. Andy, I promise we'll get to it first. So sorry. Everybody have a safe and happy Halloween. I don't know if we're recording on Halloween next week or if we'll be recording a different day. I think that will just depend on Halloween plans, but we'll be out as scheduled. And then I think in 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a special guest, two special guests.
Yes, two special guests. Yes. To continue our ongoing conversations about sexual assault, a very dear friend of mine is making a documentary film about this very subject. So we're going to have her and her her co-director on to keep talking about this stuff. And I think they're going to be able to fill in a lot of the statistical and factual information that we maybe have been lacking. And they're just awesome, awesome badass ladies. So I'm very excited to have them on the show.
Awesome. And then I promise next week we'll keep it lighter, though. We'll give you guys a week of breathing room in between. But please, we again encourage all feedback, and we welcome it. We would love to hear what everybody else has to say about any of the things that we talk about. So it's thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Mark your calendars for 9 p.m. Eastern Time on November 21st for Broadsgiving. Those friends quotes, I actually did find them. Of course, I didn't really leave any time for them. But they did involve things like pivot, see, he's her lobster, we were on a break. Yeah.
They were on a break. I mean, Ross is kind of the worst, but they were on a fucking break.
Right.
See, I kind of sort of see Rachel's point in that, too. Maybe this is a topic, a safer topic we can debate next week. Could I be wearing any more clothes? Which is my, I think I said that was one of my favorites. Oh, Janice. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I forgot about this when Phoebe goes, okay, that is brand new information.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
Okay, I might have to do a rewatch.
Yeah. Oh, here come the meat sweats. I do say meat sweats sometimes. Jay says it.
I didn't realize that that was a Friends thing. I thought that was just a general term.
It says, also known as the one where Joey eats too much ugly, stupid, and delicious turkey during one of the most entertaining Thanksgiving Friends episodes, the one where Brad Pitt guest stars.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
You've never seen that one?
That was the season that Julia didn't have on DVD. So my old roommate had all the seasons of Friends on DVDs. This was like before Netflix streaming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would take a box set off the shelf and I would keep it until I finished it. Mm-hmm. And then I'd put it back on the shelf and I'd take a new one. But she didn't have, I think that was season eight or seven. Mm-hmm. And she didn't, that was the one season she didn't have.
All right.
Yeah, so I've never seen that season.
Okay, well, that's where Meat Sweats comes from.
Oh, that makes sense.
So anyway, there's a whole bunch more. Maybe we could get into it a bit more next week. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, on that note, 3 out of 3 broads agree that it is time to go to sleep for us.
Slash eat.
It is time to get the heck out of here.
Yeah. It's a choose your own adventure kind of thing.
Yes. And can I just tell you guys, I'm going to drop this bomb before I leave, is I have been sitting here without pants on for the entire time we've been recording.
Oh my God, I'm so disappointed that I didn't know this before just now.
No pants, that's no awesome. Underwear, just a tunic.
Hey, you live your best life.
I was half getting changed when I was like, I really got to just go. It's getting late. They're never going to see me anyway. So there we go. We had, you know, the one with the meat sweats. This is the one where Colleen wears no pants.
I like that. Just, you know, preparing for Halloween.
Exactly. All right, guys. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.